number two.
Ches Tammuz, 14th of July, Rabbi Tzvi Pappenheim, Emunah and Bitochen.
Where is the Sefer Mishneh Torah? In the beginning of Mishneh Torah, it's called Hilchos Mishneh Torah, which is the foundations of the Torah, where the Rambam discusses the first few pokim he discusses about Emunah. So the way he starts Perek Aleph, he says Yisoda Yisodas, the foundations of all foundation, Bamud HaChochma, and the pillar of wisdom, Leida, is that a person should know that that there is a Motzei Rishon, there is a being which was the first one, and the Rambam explains in the next halacha that refers to the Rabbeinu Shlolem. V'hu Mamtzi, says the Rambam, and the Rabbeinu Shlolem, he creates Kol HaNimtzoyim, all the beings in the world. And all the beings in the heaven and earth, all comes from the Rabbeinu Shlolem. That's the first halacha in the Rambam in Hilchos Yisoda Torah. Now we see from the Rambam two things. First of all, we see from the Rambam that the main Yisod of every Yid, the main foundation, that the Yid has to have Emunah, he has to believe in the Rabbeinu Shlolem. And the second thing we see in the Rambam is that the Rambam says a Loshon of Leida, that a person has to know. Now, there's a difference between believing and knowing. There's a person who believes in something, and the next day someone will prove him different, so he'll believe something else. However, someone who knows something, let's say a person knows that today is day, even if he'll have a question on that, so he'll have to find an answer, but he knows as a matter of fact that today is day. So that's what the Rambam seems to say, that a person has to know that there is a Rabbeinu Shlolem in the world, and that's the biggest madrega of Emunah, of believing in the Rabbeinu Shlolem. The Chaznish writes in his letter, he's got there's a printed sefer called Kovas Igros of all the letters of the Chaznish, and then in letter Tzaddik, he says that by Ikfas of the Mashiach, that means time before Mashiach will come, there'll be a big nisoyin of Emunah. Yeah, like we see in the world today, unfortunately, most people are non-believers, so there'll be a big nisoyin of Emunah. And there's a sefer called Ma'aser Ish, which he brings a lot of memories of the Chazon Ish. And there in the sefer, he writes that we see, unfortunately, some people going off the derech. And people think that one morning that these people decided to leave Yiddishkeit and to go off the derech. But says the Chazon Ish, the truth is, it didn't just happen overnight. That person had a problem of Emunah for a long time already, until he made that move that he decided to leave Yiddishkeit. It didn't just happen overnight. So we see from all these things that the main foundation of every Yid has to be that he has to be a Ma'amon in the Rabbeinu Shlolem. Now I want to discuss some Chazals and Rishonim, and maybe it will be a chizuk for all of us in the morning. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara says that when a person comes to Olam HaNishamos after 120 years, they're gonna the first question that will be asked is Nasoso Nasata Bemunna. Were you honest in your business dealings? Now there's two questions on that Gemara. First of all, why is that the first question? We say every day in davening, which is a mission in Pei, we say Eilu Dvorim. And in Eilu Dvorim we say the Talmud Torah Keneged Kolom, that learning Torah is more chashuv than everything else. So the question is, why is is whether a person has been honest in his business dealing the first question when he comes in the world to come? The second question is, why is the Gemara saying that they ask him whether he was honest in his business dealing? If a person wasn't honest, that means he's stealing. So they should just ask him whether he stole. It could be he could have stolen anything. Why is it only a question in whether a person was honest in his business dealing? So there's a sefer called Kad HaKenach, which was written by Rabbein Bachai. Now there's two Rabbein Bachai. There was Rabbein Bachai, which was an earlier Rishon, which wrote the Chovei Salvavos, and then there's Rabbein Bachai, which was a Talmud of the Rashbo, and he wrote a sefer Kad HaKenach, which has a lot of Mamorim, essays about topics. Now his first topic is on Emunah. And he goes through all Chazals about Emunah. He brings a Gemara that Bo Chavakuk v'midon al-achas. The Chavakuk came along and put the whole Torah in one posuk, a tzaddik b'emunos ha-yichya. A tzaddik is someone who lives with his Emunah, with belief in the Rabban Shlom. And then he goes on, at the end of the Ma'amah, he discusses this Gemara in Shabbos of Nososor Nesata Be'emun, where the person was honest in his business dealings. Now, the question is, what has that got to do with believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is he bringing it there? So it seems from the Kad HaKenach that he learned a different way in Nososor Nesata Be'emun. Normally, people learn the Gemara that Nososor Nesata Be'emun comes from the Loshon Imun, whether a person was honest or faithful in his business dealing. But one could learn different, the Gemara, that Nososor Nesata Be'emun, when he did his business dealings, did he believe in the Rabban Shlom? Emunah means Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we're going to learn that Emunah means believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the explanation for that would be that you can find some honest people in the world, even if they don't believe in Rabban Shlom. But their honesty might be compromised sometimes if they know for sure that they're never going to be caught. Or even if they're caught, they're not going to get in trouble for that. So their honesty will get compromised. But someone who's a real ma'amin in the Rabban Shlom, even if he knows 100% sure that he won't get caught, he'll still do what Halacha says, and he's not going to be dishonest in his business dealings. So that's why the Gemara says, Nesosor Nesata Be'emunah, meaning that a person, when he does his business dealings, you can see whether he was a true ma'amin. Because if he was a true ma'amin, he would be honest in all circumstances. If that is true, and that's what the Gemara means, Nesosor Nesata Be'emunah, then we can understand why that is the first question a person is asked when he comes to Olam HaNeshamos after 120 years. Because the main foundation, like the Rambam says, of every Yid is whether he was a ma'amin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way to see if he was a ma'amin is to see whether he was honest, truly honest in his business dealing. So that's before anything else, before they ask about Torah, which is the second question, they first want to find out if the person had a munen or b'nishlo. Now, like we find in Dasas Adipos, that the first one of Dasas Adipos is Anoichi Hashem Elokeinu. That person has to believe in the Baruch Hashem. And the Rambam says it's a mitzvah saseh, the Rambam in Hilchos Seudat Torah. And when a person has a munah, he's mekayem that mitzvah saseh, which is the first one of Dasas Adipos. So therefore, since it's the most important thing a person has to do, that's why this will be the first question in when a person comes to Olam HaNeshamot. Now, I'd like to mention a few Rishonim on Emunah, and perhaps it will be a chizuk for all of us. The Ramban, in the beginning of Bereishis, says that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is that he made a very thin and fine matter, and from that matter, Rabbi Shem went on and created the whole world. Now that matter was created Yesh Ma'ayim, which means it was created from nothing, as there was nothing there. And the Rambam says that matter was called Yuli, which I think is a Greek word, which was a very fine matter. And from that matter, the world was created. And the Ramban says that that's what, when the Torah says Toyu Vavoyu, the word Toyu means that matter which was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Chazon Ish has a Sefer Emunah B'Tochen, which is printed at the back of Taharis. And the Chazon Ish says that believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the logic would oblige us to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since we know that nothing gets done by itself, nothing gets creates itself. There's no such thing as something getting created spontaneously. So logic would oblige us to be ma'amin and to believe in the Ribono Shel'Olam. And Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman has a sefer called Kovetz Ma'amorim, which is on more on Drosh. He's got a lot of pieces about Emunah and B'Tochen. Rabbi Elchanan there says a similar thing. He says that if a person wouldn't have any negiyas, he would believe in the Ribono Shel'Olam, because it's not possible for a world to happen without believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings the Chovos HaVavos, which was the first written by the first Rabbein Bachai, Shai Yechud. He says that he brings a moshe from the Chovos HaVavos. If someone would find a painting, and a person would tell him that painting was done by itself, there was a pot of paint which spilled, and that's how a beautiful painting came out. So everyone would have laughed at him, because of course a painting can't happen by itself. Says Rabbi Nachaya, the same thing is with the world. It is not possible for the world to get created by mistake. And when someone looks at the world without any negiyas, he'll see that there was a designer who designed the world, and that's how the world was created. Now, to understand that a little bit more, I would like to mention a story. The story is mentioned in a sefer written by Rabbi Yanke Galinsky. He has a sefer Latorah called Vigadato. So he brings a story that he himself went to visit Rav Shach when he wasn't well. Rav Shach was in hospital. And Rav Shach told him when he came in that he has to tell him a story which just happened with him, with his doctor, which was a big professor, and he has to tell him the story. Now, the story was that the professor told Rav Shach that he has a lot of respect for religion, but now, normally when someone says that, you know they're in for trouble. He doesn't really mean that they have respect, but that's what he said. However, he thinks that religion doesn't fit with science, because science gets investigated properly and everything is proven. Where religion is not like that, that's what this professor, obviously he wasn't a big believer in Akash Baruch, and that's what he told Rav Shach. Now, Rav Shach told him, can you please explain to me how the world was created? So the professor got all excited because he thought that he's got here the God Ladur, which is asking him a question on science. So he's got his opportunity to explain it. So he went on to explain to him that the world was created with a pool of chemicals, and then a lightning came and it exploded, and that's how the world started. So Rav Shach asked him, so can you please explain to me who created the pool, who created the chemicals, and who created the lightning? So the professor told him that science doesn't go back as far, and science can't explain that. So Rav Shach turned around to Bianca Galinsky, and you see, and he told him, you see this big professor, which is a genius, and he can be such a shaita to think that the world just happened by itself. Now, there's another Rambam. The Rambam wrote a Perzhim Mishnayis, it's called Mishnah on the Mishnah, and he writes a Hakdom in Perzhim Mishnayis. In Hakdomah to Perzhim Mishnayis, in the middle there, he says that the Kadmonim came to a conclusion that everything in this world has a purpose for its existence. Every animal and every creature, everything has its set purpose of why it was created. And the Rambam says that Shlomo HaMelech had a lot of Chochmah, so he knew everything, what its purpose was. Now, as a side note, it's interesting that it's been discovered that mosquitoes, where people think that mosquitoes have no purpose in this world, just to annoy people. However, it's been discovered that the fish, since the mosquitoes like to live next to water, and the fish eat these mosquitoes, and that's how the whole cycle of nature works. So the Rambam says that everything has its purpose. Now the Rambam says the purpose of people is to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what their purpose in this world is. Because otherwise, what is the purpose of people? Just to eat and live until they die. That's not a good purpose. Now, nowadays. By the goyim as well, they try and find a purpose for every animal and for everything in the nature. However, they can't find any purpose for the human being. But a person who is mamina and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows what the purpose, why he came to this world. He knows that there's a world to come. So that would also give a person a chizuk and a munah. If he sees that that's the only purpose he came to this world. Now, there's a posuk in Bereshis. It says, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu put a neshama in the body of a person. Now, if a person analyzes it and he sees that there's a difference between between a person who's living or a creature is living and a creature who is dead. Now, there isn't much difference in the actual body of the person. However, the person who lives can do everything and the person who is dead can't do anything and he'll just disintegrate. So if a person thinks about that, he'll come to a conclusion that, of course, there's a neshama, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a neshama, which is a eternal thing, and that keeps the body going. Now, this emuna in believing in the neshama, which will live forever, is called in the Rishonim Hashoras HaNefesh. That means that the translation of that is that the neshama stays. Hashoras is a lotion of Lishora, to stay. That it lasts forever, the neshama. That's one of the ikrim which a person has to believe. Like the Mishnah says in others, that the Olam Hazeh is only a proizdo to come to the Olam Habo. The main tachlis of a person is to live, to go to Olam Habo, to live forever there. Now, there's a very interesting chazanish, which is printed in the new, they brought out a new sefer, it's called Ksovim Vishal Sichus of the Chazanish, which was written by his Kisra Yad, that was brought out a few months ago. Now the Chazanish there says that we don't find in the Torah clearly about Olam Habo. The Torah always mentions Tzchar V'Onesh in this world. Now the Rambam explains that the reason for that is because people won't understand the concept of Olam Habo. It's not possible for a person to understand what Olam Habo is all about. So the Torah says things which people will understand, Tzchar V'Onesh, which are in this world, and everyone can understand. That's what the Rambam writes in the Geirah Tema. Now the Chazanish says that he found in this week's Parsha, where you see clearly in the Torah that there is, that the Hashoras HaNefesh, that the Neshama stays forever, we see that clearly in the Pasuk. Because it says in the Pasuk that Yosef Aaron El Amov, Kilo Yova El Oretz, that the Aaron was punished and he died. And the Torah says, why did he die? Because he wasn't allowed to go into Etzor. Now the Chazanish says, if we're going to say that after a person dies, there's nothing there, it's all gone, there's no such thing as a neshama, then how can you say that a person dies because the Aaron died, because he wasn't allowed to go to Etzor? That wasn't the ultimate punishment. The ultimate punishment was that he died, and there's nothing after death. So it seems that the dying is not such a bad thing, because you still, the neshama lasts forever. And the main punishment was that he wasn't allowed to go into Etzor, which is a ruchnistige thing. So says the Chazanish that you see clearly that after death it's not that there's nothing left and the person just disintegrates. Of course, there's a neshama. And that's why the Torah says that the main punishment was that he wasn't able to go into Etzor with all the spirituality which comes with it. And the way to do it was that Aaron died, but that wasn't the main punishment. That's what the Chazanish writes. Now, I'd like to say a story about Betochen, which I saw also in the Sefer of Bianca Galinsky. And he brings a story there. It was a known fact that there was a yeshiva in Nevada, which was called the Nevada Yeshiva. And there, the people, they put a very big emphasis on being Bala Bitochen, on believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything they do. So the Rosh Yeshiva of Nevada was called the Alter of Nevada. And he used to go a lot to a forest and do his bodhidus. His bodhidus means to be by himself, just with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to sit and learn there, and to daven all by himself without people around him. Now he once went, that's where he brings the story, he once went to the forest and he saw a hut there which people used to use to cut wood. And he decided he'll go in that hut, it will be a perfect place for him to do his bodhis. So he started, he learned there all night, till he came to a stage where his candle went off. So he didn't know what to do. However, he knew that if he's going to be talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wasn't that madrega to believe, to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help him. And until suddenly a person came with a candle, and he brought in the candle and left. And he had no idea who this person was. Maybe it was a malach. So he decided that when he'll go back to yeshiva the next day, he'll take the candle with him. And he used to call it the Ner HaBitochen, or the candle of Bitochen, to show everyone, to show all his talmidim, all the bochim, what Bitochen can bring. A few weeks later, there was a little fire by the omelet where the candle was, and the candle got burnt. So everyone was very upset in the yeshiva, that the Ner HaBitochen, which they called him, disappeared. They don't have that Ner to come to the Madrig of Bitochen to show them how Bitochen works. So the Altar of Nevada gave a shmuz, and he says that it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that candle away in order that we should be able to get to the Madrig of Bitochen even without seeing that candle. Now, Rabbi Yankel Galinsky says that he once met the Ponovitcherov. And the Ponovitcherov told him that he had his own candle of Bitochen. He had his own Ner HaBitochen. Because when he was a young Rav of Ponovitch, he decided he wants to open a yeshiva and a Talmud Torah for the children to learn. But he couldn't find the right piece of land to build his his yeshiva there. Until it came to a situation where there was a landlord there and he wanted a lot of money for a piece of land. However, he told the Ponovitcherov, if he gives him 25,000 rubles in cash, he'll sell it to him, and that was considered very cheap. However, he has to sign today. So the Ponovitcherov decided that he'll be a Baal Bitochen. And he had 5,000 rubles, which he got from a nadin from the shver. They put that down as a down payment, and within 2 months he'll complete. Now, he went around for 2 months, and he couldn't make any money. All the ashirim he went to, they all said they'll give him in 6 months' time. They wait till some money comes in. They weren't able to help. Until it was the last day before he was supposed to pay, and if he wasn't going to pay, he was going to lose his deposit. And his shver came to him, and the Ponovitcherov's wife told his shver the whole story. And the shver was very upset with him. He says, how can you be? You're a young Rav, and you do such wild things, and now you're going to lose all your money. So Ponovitcherov said, I have bitochen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help me by tomorrow. I hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help me. Now that evening, there was two people who made the shidduch, and they decided that they're going to give the two very wealthy people. They decided that they're going to put the money down by the Ponovitcherov, the money which they were going to give to the young couple. They wanted to be mashlishit, which means they wanted to the Ponovitcherov to keep it to them till the wedding. So the Ponovitcherov said, so the amount was exactly the 20,000 ruble he needed. So the Ponovitcherov told them, asked them permission if he's allowed to use it in the meantime, and when the chasid will be in 6 months' time, he'll pay it back. So they said, yeah, no problem. So he used the money. The next day they came back, they asked for the money back, because the shidduch broke. So Ponovitcherov said, I already gave the money, so I can't return it to you. However, you gave me permission to use it, so I'll pay you back in 6 months. So, and that's what happened, and within 6 months, the Ponovitcherov was able to return the money to them. So the Ponovitcherov said, that was my Ner Bitochen, which kept me going, that showed me that Bitochen works, and that's how I was able to build the yeshiva in Ponovitch. Thank you.
Amen.